The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the Empton Studio. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the glass. And 46 days. 46 days until the start of the Michigan football season, getting closer and closer, but still plenty of time for you to make it on over to the M Den to get up on that season T, that maize T-shirt, blue block, that blue emblem, the blue block lettering, the helmet on the front, Michigan, the season schedule on the back. Be prepared for it, any maize out event that comes to the big house. And, of course, if you want to get any of the other Michigan football apparel, be it jerseys, hats, dry fit.
Sweatsuits coming in now, polos. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Run new
polos.
The gamut.
Yep. The sideline coach's attire. So you've got the polos. The top half of one of the polos is white. The bottom half is gray. The other one's top half is white. The bottom half is blue. It's a Jumpman polo the coaches will wear. There's what I assume will be seen on the sidelines. It's a half-zip gray pullover, but there's also a matching sweatpant. So you can make it into a full sweatsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint. I might be going to M-Den and picking that up real soon.
Well, there you go, folks. So many options, and you can find them all at the Superstore for sure. 303 South State Street, right here in Ann Arbor. You want to get your golf attire up, Michigan casual and dress attire. You can find that at the Victor's Collection right next door. Same thing over at Briarwood Mall, an M-Den location, and the Victor's Collection right next door to it. M-Den is local for everyone online at mden.com, the M-Den and the Victor's Collection, the official outfitters of Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket joining us as he does every single week. Ann Arbor native, resides in Florida, a professor at UF, one of the best sports voices around, one of the ones I trust, Eric Adelson. EA, good morning.
Thank you, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. So, I mean, last week you're on, we were talking about, big trade, Paul George to the Clippers with Kawhi, and next thing you know, another massive trade comes down the pike, and I'm curious what you think, Russell Westbrook to Houston, and of course CP3 to OKC.
Well, it was another bombshell. I mean, you can't script this stuff any better. The NBA has the best offseason. It's not even close. I mean, the offseason is better than the regular season. I can't wait to watch this pair. I think they're going to outscore a lot of all-star teams. There's going to be a lot of 140s. But I don't necessarily know that they're any closer to a championship. I'm not sure where the defense is coming from. I'm not sure how they stop the Warriors or LeBron for that matter. If you're Houston, I mean, one story is that came to mind was when I was in Houston for the Super Bowl, they held all the festivities, right by where, I think it's called Compaq Center where the Rockets played. And I walked over there the night of a game and, it was like $8 to get in. In that market, they have to keep interest, and Russ and Harden are going to keep interest the whole season. So that's part of it. I think it's the best that they could do, considering it didn't seem like CP3 was very well received there. Mm-hmm. So it's a good move for Houston. I just don't know if it's a championship move. I mean, if you asked me after the season who's going to win next year, I would have said Raptors if they keep Kawhi, or Warriors if they get healthy. No, I don't necessarily have my mind hasn't changed. You're going to have a lot more watchable teams, so the regular season is going to be thrilling. But I still like the Warriors. If I have $10 to put on a team, I still put it on the Warriors.
I don't know if I'm a believer in the Warriors at this point. Although I think this talk about the Warriors are going to miss the playoffs is a complete joke. They'll definitely be in the mix. But I agree. I do agree with what you said about Houston. I don't know that this is I don't know if this is a championship move. I mean, I think it's a move where you have nothing to lose. I mean, you aren't gonna fall back as a result. But you're talking about two ball dominant guys. Like, you know, what's Russell? Who's Russell Westbrook without the basketball? Who's James Harden without the basketball? And so one of those guys needs to be more of an off ball guy. And I think that that guy is going to have to be James Harden because he's the one that can hit a jump shot.
Yeah, I mean, Russ got better over the course of the year statistically at being a little bit more balanced. But they're going to have to figure out how to share the ball. Neither of them are set up guys that much. Defense. I mean, defense is still an issue, and it was an issue before. It's an issue in that system. I mean, back when D'Antoni was with the Knicks, it was an issue. They play a great wide-open style, but when you get to the playoffs, you have to defend. If you're going to get, I mean, you know, AD and LeBron, who on the Rockets is going to stop those guys? Either one of those guys. I mean, there's going to be, I mean, if those two teams play again, it's going to be a lot of scoring. It's going to be watchable, but I'm just not sure what the plan is. That's the thing about that system. There's never really a plan for defense. There's just a plan for scoring, and that just doesn't work overall. I think that long-term, the Thunder are in a better place, and long-term, the Rockets are not in a better place, but they're just in a better place this year.
So we're talking to Eric Adelson here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. So, it was a very entertaining offseason. You saw the competitive balance, I think, get better in the league as, you know, as a byproduct of these moves. But I'm curious the way some of these moves happened, that the players now really dictate that contracts really for superstars are inconsequential. If you're a superstar and you want to move, you can force a trade, Paul George. Do you think a big picture that's good for the league?
Yeah, I do. Because I think that the players know better than the owners, in some cases the GMs, what works. I mean, this era, would you say, started with the big three in Miami, where basically you had three guys come together and say, let's do this in Miami. And it was very controversial, and the team was kind of despised in a lot of cases. But they won. They won a championship. Now, could they have won more? Yes, they could have. But that, to me, started this era that we're in. And, so far, I think that the league has benefited. I think that there's some hurt feelings in some smaller markets. But, you know, the Bucks are going to contend. That's a small market. The Clippers were always in the shadows. They're not going to be that way anymore. Portland's a smaller market. They're very good still. The Raptors, you know, I think a lot of people wonder if they were going to be relevant, but they made a big trade and it paid off. They won a championship. So, it's a small sample size, but I feel like the players have a better idea of what works, and happier players are going to be better players. And I think that's another part of this, is that if you're going to go to a place where you know and trust the people that are around you, and you can force that to happen. Yeah, sometimes it's going to blow up in your face. Sometimes it's not going to work. Sometimes a franchise is going to be left holding the bag. You can say that maybe that happened in Oklahoma City. A place like Orlando where I live. Shaq didn't want to stay here. Dwight Howard didn't want to stay here. So there's still, I mean, there's zero retired numbers in the Raptors in Orlando. I think there should be. I think it reflects that this fan base feels that they were jobbed in a sense or left for better, glitzier places. That happens. It's going to happen. It might happen to Orlando again. It might happen to Detroit again if Blake Griffin wants to go somewhere, Drummond wants to go somewhere. But I think overall it's better for the league because there's more interest and more money for the players.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free. See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
All right, so EA, let's switch gears over to football. One of the topics that emerged over the weekend, and we talked about it yesterday, the proposal by the NFL owners for an 18-game schedule. Now, if you just hear 18 games, you're like, oh, well, that's not fair for the players. As a matter of fact, DeMarie Smith, you know, representing the players said, hey, you know, people see more money, but they don't see the increased injury risk. But there's a caveat to this 18-game schedule. Also, part of the owner's proposal is that every player only plays in 16 games. So while the teams have 18-game schedules, each individual player still only has a 16-game schedule, cutting out two of the preseason games. I'm curious, what do you think of this idea? And what do you think of the pushback from the players that say, hey, you know what, this increases injury risk, and I can't figure out how it does?
No, as long as they're paid for 18 games, I think that it's good, because I think it actually reduces injury risk. I looked at the concussion numbers, and forgive me, I'm in a nice rink watching Annabelle's game. He's got the music going on, so you'll have to...
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, but I think that it's good for... I looked at the concussion numbers. The concussion rate is actually higher in the preseason. I think that that's because the players are coming back. And I think that there's sort of more risk of injury. So if you're getting rid of two of the preseason games, which I assume that you are, mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing. That you're going to end up with 20 total games anyway. I'd rather that be more money for the players. I don't think there's necessarily added injury risk, because you're eliminating the two preseason games where the concussion rate is higher, and I think that you're going to get less wear and tear overall, because you're not going to be playing 16 out of 17 weeks. I mean, last season, because of the hurricane, you had the Bucs and the Dolphins getting the first week off, and then they had to play 16 straight weeks. Getting a break plus the bye, I just think that will allow longer careers and hopefully less injuries. Not in every case, but I think in the most part. So I like this idea. More meaningful games, less preseason games. And also it's good for the fans, because their season tickets are going to cost a little bit more, but now they're already paying for preseason games that they don't care about and don't go to.
Right.
It's a waste of their time, too. So I feel like it's a total win, honestly, for everybody, and it's long overdue.
Yeah, the it feels to me like posturing by the players for, as they prepare for the upcoming collective bargaining agreement, you know, as the deal comes up and they try to negotiate for a bigger piece of the pie, this would seem to be something that they would give. They would say, okay, because still each player would only play at most 16 regular season games. So one of the things I like is the strategy side of it for coaches trying to figure out when they're going to sit what guys. That to me adds a level of intrigue to a season. Now, here's the downside that some fans brought up when we talked about this yesterday. They said, well, hey, you know, you mean to tell me I'm an Arizona Cardinal fan and, you know, Tom Brady is going to come, the Patriots are going to come to town, and I got to be concerned with Tom Brady not playing? And I guess, and tell me if you're in line with this thinking. There were two games that the Patriots are going to play in, two preseason games that you weren't going to see those guys in anyway. This is, to me, the same thing. That, you know, two games that you weren't going to see those guys in anyway, except now they actually count.
Yeah, well, if Tom Brady or anyone else gets injured, you're not going to see him play that way either. I mean, you have to keep that in mind, that if we're going to 18 games. We're going to 18 games no matter what. And if you go to 18 games, then the risk of injury is going to be higher. And yes, there's a chance that if you live in Arizona and Tom Brady comes once every 8 years or whatever it is, that you're going to miss him playing that game. But there's going to be that chance. It's football. There's going to be a chance that happens anytime. And I'd rather him miss because he's load management than miss because he's injured. Mm-hmm. You have to protect the players in this era of head trauma, in this era of longer careers, and of faster collisions. You need to protect the product, and this is a better way to protect the product without sacrificing the game. And honestly, Sam, the problem that I have much more than this, I think this is a reasonable, rational approach. What's not reasonable, in my opinion, is college football, where they sneak in an extra game every two or three years, and all the fans love it because it's more football. But you're going to have a higher risk of injuries and limited careers. When you and I started watching Michigan football with 12 games, you know, now if Michigan makes it all the way, it could be 15, you know, maybe even 16 at some point, because people want to make it an 8-game playoff. That's not fair. That's not fair. There's no players union. There's no player say, and you can have an injury that risks a player's professional career. That's what we should be cutting, in my opinion. It'll never happen. But the way that we've sort of slouched toward a full professional season in the college football ranks without anybody raising any real concerns out loud, that to me is more troubling than, you know, some Arizona Cardinal fans who shell out $50 wanting to see Tom Brady, and then they end up not seeing Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. Last one for you, EA, talking to Eric Abelson this morning here on the Michigan Insider. You mentioned college athletes, no union. For a long time, we've been trying to figure out how the model would change, if at all, when it comes to compensation for student athletes in the revenue sports, where a California bill that would make it possible for college athletes to profit from use of his or her name or likeness, it cleared a big hurdle. It went past the subcommittee. It is one step away from making it to the governor's desk in California to be signed into law. This feels to me like the biggest threat to the status quo that we've seen the NCAA face thus far. I'm curious if you feel the same way.
I think it's a good thing. I think they should be able to profit. I think overall it's going to be good. I don't think the overall system is going to change because there's just too much money going to these schools, and there's no alternative. I mean, what we saw with the Alliance of Football is that when it comes down to it, people don't really want to see semi-pro. They want to see college because they love college football. They want to see pro football because they love their team. And no generation of football players at any level is going to be bigger than the tradition of the football team. And that sounds extremely old-fashioned. And it's not something I want to say, but it's something that I believe, and I think it's true. And so the likeness is a good step, but I don't think that the system is going to change until it's really forced to. I don't think this is going to be the domino that falls that forces players to be paid for their season. I don't think we're there yet. We may never be there yet. But one thing to keep in mind, and this is a downside, I'm not arguing against the likeness payment because I think it's good, but you know what happens if a company or an endorser decides to pull a plug that says that, you know what, this guy's not playing. This quarterback we thought was going to be super is not going to be, you know, he's not earning that much. And you have the downside where somebody who is 18, 19, 20-year-old, no fault of his own, injury or he's benched or anything else, or just doesn't win a job, could start making money and then start not making that money anymore as his career goes on. And I think that's an unforeseen effect of this that worries me to some extent, because it's good in theory, and I think it'll be good in practice, but there are going to be some situations where a player comes in with a lot of promise and it doesn't work out for whatever reason, and not only does he lose his chance to play on the field, he's going to be losing some money that he thought he might have had.
Gotcha. Yeah, interesting and valid point to raise, EA. As always, you make me think, you make us think. That's why we love you, man. Appreciate you taking time out of your morning. And we will talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Sam and Ira. Have a great week.
All right, thanks a lot. That was Eric Adelson joining us as he does every Tuesday. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket.